This is a Rooster Teeth production.
So you guys can take it away. This is episode number 43. This is going to be the good one. I think that all the other ones have been great. This one is going to be head and shoulders above the rest of them. But it's up to you guys to get it there. So I'll leave it to you. Take it away.
Thanks for that awesome intro, Eric. I don't think any of us could have done a better job than what you just did. You continue to impress and amaze. And you are right. That is what this show is. Gavin, Raymond, how are you guys doing today?
Not bad.
I'm doing great. I feel like there's a little bit of pressure, though, off that opening. Like Eric said, this is going to be great, and then just left. Just disappeared.
That's what a real showman does, right? He threw the gauntlet to us, and now it's up to us to run with it. So, Andrew, I believe I hopped into the chat to the recording earlier, and I heard you talking about pickling, so I left. Did you want to get into pickling?
I mean, we don't need to necessarily get into pickling. I could talk about it briefly.
Were you offended by it, Jeff? Is that why you left?
No, I just thought, I don't need to hear this shit from him unless it's, like, on camera.
Would you say, if I said that I'm into pickling now, does that mean that I'm going to pickle things or that I'm open to the idea that pickled things could be good?
If you're into pickling, you're one who pickles. So you're like making your own pickles and
what
shit.
What did I say? Did I say, I think I said I'm open to the idea that pickled things are good or pick. I don't remember what I said, but I'm not going to be a pickler. I just thought there was no way, like, anything being pickled didn't seem like it would enhance the flavor to me.
I mean, you're already a pickler. You got a pickled waffle on your desk right now.
That's true. I should do something with that eventually. I just don't. I kind of want to smell it again, but I'm convinced I'll just vomit immediately. And there needs to be a right time for that. I also don't want to get puke on my keyboard.
Yeah, that's something you build up to throughout the course of an episode for sure. You don't want to blow it in the first 5 minutes.
Definitely.
Hey, speaking of which, you guys got a lot to cover this week. Gav, you got anything?
I have a thing to bring up that we forgot to talk about. Is a brief thing. Gavin, you mentioned maybe it was the end of the story, but I was going to expand on it a little bit. You had a jacket that like would buzz alarms or whatever, and it was kind of set up in a way of like, we'll talk more about it. And then we just never did.
Oh, yeah. I could go into that.
I have a question too. I said, Gav, do you have anything? And then Andrew, you also answered. So is this your way of telling us that you have a third name and it's Gavin that you have been hiding from us?
No, I just got excited and I answered when you said, do you have anything? Then you said Gavin. I assumed it was open to everybody. I didn't realize this was a Gavin only question when I replied.
Okay. My only thing to talk about this week is Andrew will routinely say things that he hasn't done. Which I feel like most people have, like, eaten an egg, or, what else? There was something else.
Meatball.
Like, you haven't eaten a meatball. Yeah, stuff like that. I haven't watched Star Wars or whatever you lied about last week.
No, I didn't.
Watch XXX to bring in the millennium.
That was just a mistake.
The 2-year screener. But I'm intrigued if you can pinpoint, Andrew, things that you know most people have done that you haven't.
Oh, I feel like, I feel like everything that we just talked about. Star Wars is a big one. I have a Star Wars question for you, Gavin. Jeff gave me so much shit about this. And you need to understand my concept. I've seen The Phantom Menace. I saw The Clone Wars. Walked out of Revenge of the Sith. Didn't finish it. I've never finished that movie. And I've seen Rogue One. I was thinking about Star Wars. So, like, understand the characters I have a grasp on from those movies. I asked, and I thought this was a very fair question, but Jeff thought I was a fucking idiot. Is Chewbacca an Ewok?
He's a Wookiee.
Well, I didn't know. Like, I don't know. I don't know anything. I don't know what a Wookiee is. I thought it was a fair question. They're both furry things. And I was just curious if Chewbacca was like substantially taller than all the other Ewoks. I thought it was a fair question.
So all furry things are the same to you? I'll be honest with you, Andrew. That makes you sound a little furry intolerant.
No, I'm just saying that typically when you see an Ewok, there's certain size from what I've seen. And I was just curious if Chewbacca was an anomaly, if he was just a really tall Ewok.
He was the Yao Ming of Ewoks.
Yeah, that was sort of what I was presenting.
But yeah, wait, you said you saw Rogue One. Isn't that the one with all the Ewoks? All the Wookiees? Which ones? Or is that Solo? What one has all the Wookiees fighting?
I don't think Solo they're in does. Rogue One. Yeah, I haven't seen Solo.
Okay.
Yeah. Chewbacca's in that one, though. I don't think I've seen a Star Wars movie that's featured Chewbacca in any way.
I'll be honest. I don't want to turn this into a whole Star Wars thing, but I'll say growing up, Star Wars was an easy franchise to wrap my head around because there were only six movies, and really three for most of my childhood. It all runs together now. Just hearing you guys list all the fucking movies to try to keep up with, I don't know how anybody keeps it separate.
And I'm by no means an expert. I watched them all in chronological order for the first time. I watched 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then I hadn't seen them in years, and then I didn't remember anything about it, so I had to rewatch them all.
I never thought when I was a kid I'd be like, all right, I slow down on the Star Wars for a minute. I need to catch my breath, but
I actually feel like I watched them in the worst way, in some sense, because I've never seen Darth Vader in any movie, ever. Like, I sort of have this perception of who Vader is.
So wait, watching Rogue One, and then at the end you're like, who the hell's that?
No. I know who he is. Like, culturally, I've seen Darth Vader. Okay. I get who Darth Vader is, but I've never seen him in a movie. So when he had the Rogue One sequence, people lost their minds about how cool that was. Yeah. To me, I just assumed that's what Vader has done every other movie. That's what I thought the bar was. Like, that was in no way exceptional to me. I was like, oh, he just killed a bunch of guys.
He moved like an old man.
Yeah.
In almost every movie. That was like the one time he was badass.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my problem. I feel like if I watch those movies now, it's just going to be ridiculous under like seeing what he could do in Rogue One compared to what he did in the other movies.
Well, I just wouldn't even bother if I were you then.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like a lot to watch.
There you go. No need. Maybe Star Wars and eggs and meatballs and pickles just aren't for you.
I'm open to pickles. I had Wendy's has this Korean barbecue burger in Canada right now, and it had pickled onions on it. I think it's like the first thing I've had that was pickled. Really enjoyed it. Kind of brought out some additional flavor, kind of tart. I'm a fan of it, so I'm open to the idea.
Was that your first pickled onion?
Yeah, it was. I think it might be my first pickled anything, knowingly.
You should try a pickled cucumber. They are delicious.
Ooh, but I don't like cucumber, so I don't...
Well, listen, a lot of people don't like onions, but they like pickled onions. It's a whole different world when you pickle it.
Yeah, but I like onions, so I feel like it's not shocking that I'd also like pickled onions. It's just a variant of the flavor. I don't like cucumbers.
I'm going to recommend that you try to ride this pickle wave, and maybe you don't jump into pickles, pickled cucumbers immediately, but I think you got to get there because it's the big dog in the ocean. It's the shark of pickling, right?
Okay.
It's the blue whale. It's the apex predator of all other pickled items. So you can't ignore it forever. At some point, you got to give it a shot. Maybe you work your way up to it, though.
Is there a pickled section in the grocery store? I imagine there is, right?
I don't know.
Is there, like, could I just buy pickled things if I wanted to just expand? See if,
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I assume it's, like, in the area with the jaws.
Yeah, where the pickles are, even.
Okay. I don't think I've ever gone down that aisle.
You've never gone down an aisle?
Well, no, the pickle aisle, specifically.
Oh. Have you ever been
down? Standing on the end of all the fixtures, like, peeping down the aisles, but never set foot down?
Andrew, the pickles are... He's like, excuse me, sir, about halfway down that aisle, sir, there's some pickles. Would you grab me the Vlasics? Extra crunchy. I can't go down the aisle.
That would be a really interesting challenge, is to go a year, but you can only buy off the ends. The face shopping challenge to see what's available to you. It'd be everything that's on promotion.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like the produce, you'd live off the produce section. You got the deli. You can make that work, I think. It's just like condiments.
Yeah, but stuff like refrigerated stuff is never on the end, is it? Oh, I guess sometimes it is.
Very rarely. You would just end up with a lot of like ice cream cones and fixings for ice cream. A lot of like maraschino cherries.
Yeah, you can buy all the big red that you want.
and candles. You can eat candles all day long. Candles and batteries.
For the next two weeks, I'm not going to walk down any aisles. I'll just see how it goes. I'll see what I can.
That's a great challenge, I think.
I think that's a great 2021 challenge for everybody, for the audience as well. Oh, man. Hey, so I have... can I talk to you guys about something?
Yeah, of course.
I was a little unhappy with my performance in last week's face. I usually am, but I was so unhappy, in fact, that I even reached out to you guys after the episode just to make sure that it was okay.
Oh, you text Andrew as well?
Maybe I just maybe I just texted you. Thanks for bringing that up. Anyway, I'm sure I had a reason, but so I decided that instead of being in a funk about it, I was going to redouble my efforts between that episode to this episode. And the struggle that I've been having, I was talking about this with Gavin, is like nothing's happening in my life right now, right? Because of the pandemic and because of working from home and stuff. And I think I even said to Gavin, like, I can only make socks and fingernail clippings, you know, stories for so long. Like, I'm really scraping the bottom of the fucking barrel here.
Yeah, but last time you were pulling up, like, throwing up blood and all that cool stuff.
Yeah, that's true too. That's what I'm saying. It's the bottom of the barrel, man. It's just, oh god damn. So I set to come up with some stuff for this episode that I wanted to get excited and invigorated about. And it was such a fun experiment that two things happened. One, I became an inventor, and I have created what I think is a revolutionary product I would like to share with you guys. And two, I became an artist, and I think I've created an avenue for a future of art. So I would like to share these two things with you, if you don't mind, and if no one else has any more pressing business.
No. I'd like to see. Are these connected in any way? Are these two separate ventures?
They are separate, but one could argue they're connected on a theme. Okay. Pickled eggs are amazing. I think so, by condiments. Yeah, Nick's right. They're by the condiments. Okay, so let me preface it. I'll take this back a little bit. I was having this conversation where I thought, like, what am I going to do between now and next face to really to bring it like the guys have done, like Andrew's done or Raymond has done every week with the shit that he makes up, and how Gavin has been able to just like coast by without really doing anything, even signing the goddamn baseball cards, which the merch team has been begging us for Gavin to do. But it doesn't seem to matter because Gavin, he's the boy with the golden hands, as his grandfather said. As I tend to do, I have these creative like sessions on my bicycle, right? So I was like, I gotta get on my bike and I gotta run out there and I gotta figure out what I'm gonna do between face and face. And I was like, oh, fucking! Right as I was about to get on the bike, I realized I was hungry.
It's like a law firm.
Yeah, exactly. Face and face. So I was like, oh, I should grab some food before I go. And I looked around and there was nothing that I could eat on my bicycle. But then I saw like a candy bracelet because I had bought a bunch of candy bracelets at the dollar store the other day. You know what I'm talking about, candy bracelets, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I feel like
I slapped a candy bracelet on my wrist and I went off on my bicycle. About halfway down, I remember on my ride, I realized that the candy bracelet was still there. And I thought, that's kind of convenient. I can eat the candy without getting off my bicycle, right? And so I was able to eat the entire candy bracelet while riding without slowing down, without reducing my pace, without anything. And that, and I thought, what a shame that I was able to provide sustenance for myself without even slowing down or breaking my stride on my bike.
Were you leaning your hand up to your mouth or were you hunching down to your wrist while riding?
It's an excellent question, Gavin, and I'm glad you asked it. And I have some documentation that can answer that for you. However, we'll get to that. Anyway, in this moment, I thought, I wish that I could continue this bike ride, but still feel like I got the sugar rush. It's over, and now I'm worse off than before. As G.I. Joe told you, eat a banana, not a candy bar. You'll have energy longer, right? So I was like, I had the quick rush of the sugar, but I was bummed that I didn't have something more substantial. And then it struck me, what we need to be able to do as a society, and this is, all right, you guys are going to have to, an audience, all this will go up on the Instagram face pod is what it's called, so that you can play along with me. I thought, there's got to be a better way to combine the convenience of jewelry and the raw power of beef.
What the?
Combine the convenience of hand jewelry with bovine energy.
Where did
and
beef
that's
come
when
up?
That's when I landed on the beef bracelet. You see what I've done in this photo, and I apologize for my skin looking a little ashy. It's still beaten up from being scraped across I-35 for a couple hundred feet. I'm still a little under the weather physically. The beef bracelet, what I've done here, I made a prototype, right? Uh-huh. I took the string from a candy bracelet, and then I cut up like a Slim Jim, and then I combined it around, and created a bracelet of beef. And let me tell you, boys, it worked. Now, here's why I'm telling you. I would like you to consider investing in face beef bracelets. I don't want to stop there because I got to thinking, that's good. That's convenient. I can ride my bike. I can eat beef. I don't have to stop. I don't have to slow down. It doesn't have to impede my life in any way. But that's not a lot of beef. What am I going to do? I'm going to end up with like 17 bracelets. I could do that, or I could go for the big beef bracelet. I made a second prototype, that's right, with chunks, like huge chunks of beef jerky. So if you don't want a snack, you want a meal, it's right there on your hand.
I can already envision the commercial as Jeff riding his bike and then six dogs running after him.
Beef bracelet. All right, I'm glad you mentioned the dogs. That we're going to get into that because that is a area for concern. Here's what I thought. Why stop at beef, right? This is a whole product line. So I tried a lot of stuff to put on a bracelet. And I'll be honest with you. It's hard. What goes well with beef? Cheese, right? Beef and cheese. I'll be damned if I could get cheese to stay on my wrist for anything. Any kind of cheese. I gave up. And then it struck me. I'm overthinking it. What do people like about beef? They like that it's salty. So what happens when you combine sweet and salty? You get sweet and salty beef bracelet. I already had the answer right there in front of me. You just combine the candy necklace or the candy bracelet with the beef bracelet, and you've got both. You've got a sweet and salty bite all at once, and you're getting your... And you're scratching that sweet tooth urge, and you're building up your protein, and you get... You're going to be in the best shape of your life. You're going to be the most extreme mountain biker, swimmer. Oh, that's another great thing, right? It's a bit of a problem for the sweet and salty. Candy bracelets, they will melt in the rain. However, beef is rain resistant. You can wear this sucker in the ocean if you want to. What, your beef going to get saltier?
What do you
great.
You want to eat a load of wet beef?
No, I don't want to, but I'm saying you can if you have to.
I like that you went from, like, you pressed stop last week and you're like, oh. Hard cut to you stapling and gluing beef to your arm. How has that taken place? Look at the state of that picture. It looks foul. It looks disgusting.
Well, I think I'll say thank you.
Oh, my God.
I support this.
And then I wanted to, I have one more for you guys too, right? So okay. I thought I need to make a commercial. Now, I don't have the money. Oh, these files are too powerful. They're more than 8 megs. I can't show it to you.
You could text, maybe.
Yeah, or the Slack.
Okay, I'll Slack it to face. So I filmed, just to give you guys a clue of what I'm talking about, and this goes back to what Gavin was saying about, like, do I hunch my head down or do I bring my arm up? I created a video to show how it works. Now, when you watch the video... You'll have to take into consideration that what I'm actually eating is, because I didn't have the beef bracelet on me at the time, I'm using a bracelet that says fart on it that Millie made for me, and I'm using that to pantomime eating, how the motion works. Then what we'll do when we get some money, like when you guys invest and other people invest, we'll rotoscope in some beef.
Okay, I'm going to watch this now.
Yeah.
Yeah, watch it.
Okay. Yeah, he's one-handed it. He's bringing the wrist up to his mouth. He's having a little snack. Obviously, this is the just the model prototype. Doesn't contain any beef. Yeah, I can see that. It's Jeff pretending to eat beads.
Yeah. You know what's great about that, too? It's so safe. I was filming that whole thing with my left hand. I didn't have any hands on the bike. When you're eating a beef bracelet, you only need one hand. I was able to do it. I was able to continue without either. It's going to be twice as safe for you because you're not going to be filming yourself eating a beef bracelet. You're just going to be eating it and riding. Boom. Beef bracelet.
Imagine him getting wheeled off on a stretcher. It's like, oh, what happened? Oh, I couldn't eat the beef and hold the camera at the same time.
Could you imagine Jeff's bike fall with the beef bracelet on? Adding that to the story, his beef launching everywhere.
All this thing is for me is... I guess it's like if you die out in the world, it just attracts the ravens sooner. I think that's all this place that achieves.
Here's the one problem I need to solve for. And I feel like we need to do some workshopping, and I could use your help. I'm bringing this to the face council. so that we can investigate this. I think there's a lot of money in it for us. I mean, just like think about the athleisure wear industry. You like you make a fucking you make an attractive beef bracelet that goes along with your Lululemons. It's a license to print money. However, Gavin hit on the main drawback that I have with this is angry dogs. I'm not sure. Now, an angry dog can be a motivator. If a dog is chasing you because of your beef bracelet and you're on a bike, you're going to ride faster. So, I mean, I get. All right. Well, I'd like to move on to the second thing that happened after I landed on the idea of the beef bracelet, and I spent a few days perfecting those images, and I made the video, did some testing, obviously. I wasn't done. I've also, as you know, been kind of obsessed with collecting basketball cards and the idea of collecting in general, reconnecting with that. You know, I even had the realization a while back that Achievement Hunter, which is the side arm of Rooster Teeth that we started 12 years ago, was just video game collectibles, right? We were just digital collectibles. And so I realized that, like, this obsession with collecting has kind of been pervasive in my life, and so I was thinking about that and trying to figure out, you know, like, face we touch on a little bit with, like, the face collection. We've done the Don Zimmer stuff, and I kind of want to figure out a way to expand upon that. NFTs are hot. Everybody's into the idea of an NFT. Gavin, Andrew, do you know what NFTs are?
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah, okay. An NFT stands for non-fungible token. If you don't know what that is, it's not because you're dumb, because I didn't know what it is either, although I am done. I had to look it up. A non-fungible token is an item that can't be replaced by another item identically of same value, like for a one of a kind. Like, if I had a dollar bill and Andrew had a dollar bill, if we switched those dollar bills, we'd both still have the same value. You can't do that with a one of a kind item, like a one of one Don Zimmer baseball card. If it's the only one in existence, it's the only one in existence. That's non-fungible. So what the smart people on the internet have done is they've created these things called NFTs, non-fungible tokens, that basically are items that are digitally unique and can be proven as such. And the way they do that is by creating them on the blockchain. I'm sure you've all heard about the blockchain. I don't know if you know what it is or not. I'm not going to get into that. But it's a chain, and it's created with blocks. And that's essentially it. However, you can basically create a digital signature of an item that originates on the blockchain. It's called minting. And that basically says that no matter what happens to this file going forward, this is the only one of that file, or one of five of that file, or whatever. And so people have then collectibles have started to catch on to this idea. It's a cool idea because artists can now sell their art directly to a consumer via an NFT marketplace, whether it's digital art, in a way that people weren't able to do before. And you could do music, you could do anything that qualifies as art, right? Animated GIFs, whatever it is. The most expensive piece of digital art just sold at Christie's auction. I think it's Bleeple is the artist. I'm not familiar. Very famous, apparently. I'm out of the loop. Sold for $69 million today or yesterday. And it's just an image. But it was authenticated on a blockchain. It's an NFT, and it's the only one of its kind. NBA has this service called Top Shot now, where they sell like digital packs, and a pack has three clips. Clips are like 10 seconds long, and they're moments from players. So instead of getting like a Marcus Smart, or like instead of getting a LeBron James basketball card, you get a LeBron James video of a LeBron James dunk in an important game at an important time, as an example. And then you now own, if there's 1,000 of that in LeBron James dunk, you own 1 of 1,000. Or if there's only one, you own that one. That thing has taken off to such a degree. I tried during All-Star Weekend, I tried to get in to buy some packs because they ran out and they can't make them fast enough. I got in line. I was never closer than 129,000th in line to buy the packs this last weekend. And they only released them in 60,000 chunks. And I tried it three times. And after you get one the first time, you're not eligible to get back in line. So each time they would throw 60,000 of those packs out, people would buy them, and then immediately, my point being, I never got any closer. It was like there was millions of people trying to get those stupid packs. Anyway, NFTs are going crazy. They're going everywhere. So I've been reading about them, and I've been learning about them, and I've been thinking about them, and I decided that why not become an NFT artist myself? And so if you'll look in the Discord, I have created my first NFT, and I've shared it with you.
Okay.
One of one now. Ham sandwich. I'd say, did you take these photos, Jeff?
I took the photos, yes. Okay. And it's one photo and one video. If you click on the photo, you get to see a video authenticating it. And you can buy that. And there's the only, it's the only one in existence. Now, no one has purchased it yet. I understand that, you know, well, I haven't gotten the word out there. But let me read the description for you so you understand what's happening here. There's a picture of a ham sandwich. And on it, on in mustard, painted with a paintbrush, because this is art, it says one of one. It is the only sandwich I made that day. It is the only sandwich made with those specific ingredients at that moment in the world. I then ate that sandwich. It no longer exists. So I think this description of the art adequately surmises what you're getting here. One of its only one of its kind, extremely rare as sandwich no longer on Earth in this form, has been responsibly biologically recycled. You can own the only remaining evidence of this ham sandwich's life, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to possess a piece of pure ephemera. Included are the only surviving picture of said ham sandwich, as well as a short video of me eating the first bite. You can buy that. Believe it or not, that was a tremendous amount of effort. It took me 2 days of creating accounts across fucking MetaMask, Binance, Coinbase, every... diving into blockchain and all this nonsense to be able to list it. Then I thought, I'm going to list this thing. Obviously, you want your art to sell for like $1 billion, right? I mean, that's the goal. But I feel like art has to be earned. So I put it up at what I thought was a really reasonable cheap price. I'm selling it for 1/10 of one Ethereum, which I thought was not a lot of money. It's like $100. So it's a little more than I wanted it to be. I thought 1/10 of $1 would be like 30 cents. I didn't realize it would be like $100 and something. But it's up there. It's for sale. I hope somebody sees it. I hope somebody likes it. I hope somebody, it brings somebody joy and they can relish in the idea that they have the only ham sandwich NFT on Earth at this moment.
I like that you went, you took NFTs straight to the ham zone.
That's a great point.
You're goddamn right I did, Gavin. And let me tell you why. I'm glad you brought that up. Well, A, I think consistency is important. When I think sandwich, I think ham sandwich. We even had a discussion about that recently. But I also, you know, I'm a man who dabbles in the ham zone. I'm not, I would be lying, Andrew, I'd be lying, Gavin, if I didn't say that I had some visions, some places I'd like to take this. First of all, one cool thing about this little piece of art, if you buy it, what I was trying to do is create ham, you guys remember Hands Across America?
Yeah.
Yes.
You want hams across America?
I wanted to create hams across America. Hams across the world. Ham sandwich across the world. I was hoping somebody would buy this for next to nothing. They would hold on to it for a while, and then they would sell it to somebody, and people would keep selling it and buying it at a really reasonable price, and then people could share this ham sandwich, and everybody could own a bite of it, if you will, just for a small period of time. However, getting back to the ham zone, Gavin... We've essentially turned the collecting world on its head with Don Zimmer, and we've created what could be a piece of physical currency in Zimmers, right? Like someday, if things continue at this pace, someday you could potentially go to like a bodega in New York or like to go get a flat tire fixed in Austin and pay in Zims. It's possible. You could pay in like, you'd be, how much is that? You'd be like, well, yeah, I fixed the flat tire and I had to align your wheels. That's 3 Zims. And you're like, no problem. Here you go. Here's your Zims. That's physical, right? But we're living in a digital world, right? Here's what I'm thinking. What if we mint and create, which by the way, you have to mint this. It costs money. I think I paid $90 to make this. So if I sell it for $100.
Most expensive ham sandwich in the world.
Yeah. I think it cost me about $90 with transfer fees and minting. So I will not be making any money off of it if it ever does sell. However, what if we created ham coin? We can mint and create ham coin. We can take deli ham. We can cut it into circles. Then we can write some sort of ham logo on them, like imprint it in the physical ham. Then we can NFT a small number of those, like say 5, and then that becomes official ham currency, and it is the rarest currency on Earth. And because we're creating it, we set the value. It's like GME, right? It's worth what we say it's worth. We can, and if we want to mint more ham coin, we can. We can make another 5 ham coin. We just need a little bit of ham.
So you want like a scarcity ham coin? This is amazing. So it's going to be just pictures of a ham coin, though.
Well, yeah, but you'll own those pictures.
Okay. Because you don't want to, you don't want currency that you have to eat within the week.
Yeah, no, no, no. It'll go bad. It'll go bad. And by the way, can I just say, I'm not, because I received some criticism from Gus earlier. I'm not a monster who puts mustard on the outside of my fucking sandwiches. Okay,
oh, that was clearly for the
art. No, it's artistic. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And I used a paintbrush because it is art, you know? So anyway, yeah. There you go. This is the first, this is my first piece of digital new media art now that I am a NFT artist. I don't know what's coming next. You know, art's funny that way. But I will say, as an aside, as a business venture, I would like you guys to do a little bit of, take a little bit of homework home and start thinking about Hamcoin, what it could be for, how powerful it could be, what we could do with it, how we could revolutionize, change the world.
How many Hamcoins should that be?
Well, at least 5, one for each of us. But then
there needs to be more than 5.
There needs to be more than 5. I agree.
What about maybe 6? 10? One for each of us and one for the world.
Okay, yeah, we could do that. We could absolutely do that.
Just this one coin being passed around in the world, and then all of a sudden our coins might be worth selling one day.
People, that look. Elon Musk's tweeting about Dogecoin. How fucking far off are we from Hamcoin? All we got to do is get Bezos on board, right? We'll be fine.
Yeah.
Or get or Bill Gates? Or what about Ballmer? Ballmer's into sports. He's into basketball. He owns the Clippers. I'm into sports basketball. I'll slide in with Ballmer, slide into his DMs. I'll hit him up about Hamcoin. Boom.
Maybe I'll get working on the vegetarian option, like tofu coin. Ooh. For people who don't want to trade ham.
That's a great point. That's a great
that
point.
Is a
we should
really
have.
Good point.
Yeah, we should have a vegetarian option, a vegan option. Yeah, keto coin.
On the idea of paying something with a tofu coin, and you get ham coin as change. It's like, no, I'm a vegetarian.
Anyway, that's it. That's what I have prepared for this week's face. I took doing a better job to heart, and I created 2 new lines of business for us because I can't point to any dumb thing that I'm going to try really hard not to fall or off of anything or run into anything or electrocute myself or trip or hurt myself in any way for a while going forward. And so I had to come up with something in some arena that didn't involve me getting an owie, and this is the best I could do.
It's I'm a full supporter of this. I hope that the beef bracelet or Unifarm is willing to take ham coin as a currency.
I think
I'd like to know what the ratio. Yeah, I think we have to figure that out.
Yeah.
And the ratio has to be set. It's funny you mentioned the injury thing. I fucked up my back earlier in the week. Like
what
really
happened?
So I woke up, my ribs hurt, my upper back hurt, just everything hurt. When I tried to move, it was not good. Breathing, not fun. Laughing, painful.
Which pillow did you wake up on? Like, which number up the stack?
Yeah, it was 5. I always wake up on 5. I was trying to figure out what happened. And I was really, like, it was a struggle. I was thinking, what did I do? Did I somehow sleep weirdly? Did pillow 5 betray me? Do I need to adjust? Did falling asleep in a bathtub over several days, has that caught up to me? I shaved, that I somehow have like a freak shaving injury where I pulled a muscle in my back. What is going on? I was thinking about it all day. Couldn't figure it out. I then mentioned to someone, yeah, I don't know what's wrong with my back. They said, didn't you fall the night before? I fell and I forgot. I was trying to figure out this mystery. I tripped. I fell as hard as maybe I've ever fallen in my house. It was no good. And it was, I got AirPods. So I connect this to Jeff. I was making fun of your fall, your bike fall. I was thinking about how funny your AirPods falling. Within 30 seconds of me putting AirPods in, I fell. In
oh,
my
yeah.
House.
Did
yeah,
they
yeah.
go flying?
It was not good. They did not go flying, but it is the hardest. I cannot emphasize enough how hard I hit the fucking floor in my room.
Wow, what caused you to fall?
Okay, this is what it was. It was, I got very, I had to use the bathroom. I was like, these are great. These AirPods are great. I was doing my little shimmy to get there because I have to shimmy through my room, and I knocked over a cabinet earlier in the day, and I didn't realize that I knocked over a plastic sushi container. So while I was doing my shimmy, my foot went in the sushi container. I did the splits, and I could do nothing but fall back. And I landed.
You gotta clean your shit up. It's disgusting. You're slipping all over the place.
You're slipping on old sushi, man.
No, no, no. was an empty container. It was perfectly clean. It was like the plastic, like portable case you would have. Foot went in it. I slid across the floor, then fell backwards, and like the whole building shook. It was so bad. I hit so hard, but it wasn't painful at the time. That's why I think I forgot that that happened, because my main thought was like, I don't think a stuntman could have fell better than I just fell. I feel no pain. This is great. I landed perfectly, but I completely forgot about it the next day. I woke up and I was so confused as to why my entire back was fucked.
Was anyone else in the house?
No, it was just me. I'm sure, but I'm connected to other people. They definitely would have felt.
Yeah, you upstairs. Were there people below you?
No, there were nobody below me, but the people in the unit next to me would 100% have felt. It was, I couldn't like imagine the impact of like a home run, but my back on the hardwood floor, like it rattled out. It was one hell of a fall.
How is it possible you did that and didn't put two and two together? Do you
think
you hit so hard you knocked the memory out of your brain?
That, yeah, it's possible.
Did you bang your head at all?
No, I didn't hit anything but my back. I landed perfectly. It was like a professional stuntman fall. I just forgot about it. It was odd. It was an odd thing. And I went to the extent of like, I thought I somehow hurt it while shaving was my main thought. Yeah, I was like a weird, well, because I shaved my beard. I grew a beard from like October until I guess last week, and I shaved it, but I just used like a handheld razor.
Wait, so you had a big bushy beard this whole time?
Oh, I had a beard. I wouldn't say it was big and bushy, but I had a beard, and so I shaved it.
I can't imagine you with a beard.
It took like over an hour to do, because I was just using a shitty razor.
An hour?
Yeah, I spent like 90 minutes shaving. And I'm good. I got it done. But I thought maybe I somehow screwed it up. Like maybe I threw something out on my back while I was doing my 90 minute shave.
Maybe you thought the injury was time based. So you're like, well, I spent 90 minutes shaving, but only like half a second falling. It had to be the shaving.
Yeah, it definitely. The time was the bigger issue. I don't think I've hit anything harder than I hit my floor yesterday. It was, or I guess a few days.
I'm surprised you didn't get winded.
No, I didn't get winded at all. As I said, it was such a perfect upper back landing. It was flawless. Didn't hit my head. Everything was just naturally tucked. And the panic, like, it was not calculated at all. I cannot, my foot sliding, and it's just, there's nothing I could do. And I had that moment of, like, I just gotta fall. It's how I will create the least amount of damage to myself. I kind of dove backwards and just smashed.
I'm very impressed that, you know, with your ankles, you didn't do more damage. You somehow got out of that without an ankle injury, and that's very impressive.
Yeah, no kidding, man.
Yeah, thankfully, no ankles were harmed in that fall. But
stepping in a my sushi back box. Was.
How has your sleep been for your ankles lately?
How's my what been?
How's sleep been for your ankles lately?
Oh, sleep is fine. I haven't injured my ankle in my sleep since the injury. That was a real bad time, though. I kept rolling my ankle in bed. I forgot about that. That sucks.
So your ankle is 100% now?
My ankle's pretty close to 100%. I still have a thing where if I tilt it at a certain angle and slowly roll into it, it really hurts until it pops and then it's good. But outside of that, I'm fine.
Maybe we're ready for the marathon then.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that. That's been on my mind for sure. I'm recovering from a back injury at the moment, but as soon as the back injury is healed.
I like the idea of you running a marathon when you struggle to move from bathroom to bedroom without stepping on sushi containers.
Well, it's, you know, it's happened one time, and it only happened because I knocked something over earlier in the day.
But you slipped over in the bathroom recently, like since face, you've eaten it straight forwards in the bathroom.
Yeah, I did, but that was like I slid on my underwear, and then I just had to fall forward. There's nothing to grab. My only option was to grab the towel bar, and I would just fall with me. I'm not going to take the towel bar out the wall with my fall, so I just had to land on my forehead.
I like these split-second decisions, like, I could grab that. But that would result in the towel bar coming down, potentially damaging. And this is all while you're falling. So you just like throw your arms up like, I'm going down.
Yeah, no, it's very, I use that time wisely, Gavin. When I'm falling, I got a solid half second of thought where I'm calculating the impact. Somebody who's rolled their ankle a lot, I consider a lot of things when things bad things are happening as far as rolling or falling.
Amazing.
I think this is pretty good.
Hey, let me ask you guys a question. I've been thinking about merch ideas. I did pay attention to that, Eric. I did. I just don't know how to respond to it.
You can't relate?
No, I can, for sure. I mean, I sprained my ankle sitting in the car the other day. Like, it fucking sucks being old. And Emily said something and I turned to look at her and sprained my ankle. And I was sitting in the passenger seat of the car. I don't know how that happened. It's fucking brutal. I can only hope that you're okay and that you suffer no long-term lingering effects.
I think he was implying that I was queuing up the outro for us if we wanted to. That you didn't notice that. I'm assuming that's what Eric was mentioning. Oh. Not that you didn't comment on the injury.
Oh, I thought Eric was saying Jeff didn't care about your story.
I thought he was saying I didn't care about your story, which I did. Oh. I care very deeply.
What did you mean, Eric?
Oh, both. It just felt like Jeff was zoned out and then he was coming. And because then, in an apropos of nothing, he goes, let me ask you guys about something at 57 minutes.
Maybe he was eating.
I wasn't eating, but I was thinking about the remainder of the show and if there was anything else I wanted to get. I was running through the remainder of the show in my head.